Hello, good friend. Welcome to Color Me Happy. My name is Brandy Hofer. I am your host. Thank you so much for your time and giving us just a little bit of it. Actually, we're going to talk about that. It is a weekend inspiration for this week. So you can subscribe to our newsletter. Every Sunday, I send out a little email with weekend inspiration. This particular one is the impact of an educator and giving our time to others. So I actually have on this week Stacy Mortensen, who is my old band director, and it's just the best. I don't know what else. There's so many good things about it. Obviously, we get a little nostalgic, but beyond that, and I'm sure you can all relate to that, like an educator who changed the course of your life. There were a few for me, and Stacy was one of them. So I'm really grateful, and you should be grateful too, that she sat down and gave us some of her time, because she is quite spectacular. And you'll get so much from this episode. It made me really excited about the next adventure in our lives and how I'm going to cry. I have some big news, but I've just been a puddle the last few days because I keep pinching myself wondering how I got here. I feel very lucky and honored to be here with you. It's just like so many dreams coming true all at the same time, and it's hard to keep it together. So this was really cool, and we talked about it in the episode, but we are starting an art academy through our public school system, and I'm working on projects that we are going to execute in our community already. And so that starts soon, and it's crazy to think. Here I go. It's just crazy to think that, you know, my inclusion of my children in my creative process led to all it. That's what led to all these beautiful opportunities. That beautiful gift of motherhood, and that so many people discounted in the art world and said that we couldn't. And we are. So it's just, yeah, all of that coming together at once, you know, going to New York next month and just meeting, it's because of some incredible women. That's why. So everyone who is a part, who has been on the podcast, who listens, who reaches out, who is a part of the community, who shows up with their passion and their true selves and knows that they are doing it to make their life better and lives of others better, even though sometimes it's really fucking hard. Thank you to everyone who does that. Because it just means something. Okay, I'll let you soak up this really magical, really great episode. And thank you again for being here.
How do you remember that? Welcome, Stacy. But how do you remember that? Like, I was in something out of like probably the thousands of students you've had. So I know Stacy because how can I describe you? So way back in junior high when I was 12 years old, you had just started your career
I think when I started teaching your group, that was my second or third year. Yeah.
And then we went all the way through together, which was pretty amazing. Yes. But like to have a memory of like, oh yeah, we did that together. But like how? I don't know.
Well, you were a pretty special group though, because you went to Montreal during my maternity leave. So, and plus you guys, most of that group had been with me since grade 5. And so for the grade 12 trip I'm on maternity leave, it just wasn't going to be a thing. So that was actually only the second time ever I had gone to Music Fest Canada. So I still have visions of you girls around Quinn in her stroller and making her giggle and
haul a baby to Montreal with like how many other kids? Like,
oh god,
that band.
It's pretty big. You were around 60, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No easy feat there. Okay. But I want to, yeah. So I want to start from the very beginning. You obviously got your teaching degree, and then so you were in it. And but like, how did you know? Like, were you always playing a lot of different instruments, or were you always very musical?
You know, I feel like music found me, to be honest. By grade six, Christmas of grade six, I told my band teacher that I was going to be a music teacher. I just loved it to my core. Like, it was just in me. And before band, I sang and I did little teeny musicals, and I was a tree in grade two. I think that was kind of my foray into loving to be in front of an audience. And I didn't second guess that decision one time all through school, all through high school. And so, I went right from high school to university. I turned 18 on September 1st of my first year of university. And so I started teaching when I was 21, turning 22 in Lloydminster. And I just couldn't get there fast enough. I couldn't get around students and young musicians fast enough. That's just what I wanted to do. And this is year 27, and I'm still just loving every minute of it.
Oh my gosh. So where did you grow up then?
Saskatoon.
In Saskatoon.
Yeah, mostly.
So 27 years, hey?
Yes.
It just doesn't feel like that long ago, but I mean, I don't want to get super sentimental.
I know. And those years.
I tend to cry, but.
Oh, that's okay.
As a young person, you never appreciate the teachers as much as, like, until you kind of look back and see. Because as a working adult, or I get to work with young people soon. And so I will really feel like how you felt and how powerful and important it is. Did you know going in, like, you knew you wanted to, but did you know how impactful it would be? Like, how important it is for people and educators to be there for children, especially in the arts, and especially for that age group?
You know, I didn't actually. I have to be honest with you. I didn't, because I didn't have those experiences myself. I had so many different band directors. My high school program was kind of a revolving door. So at that point, I only really just knew the power of being involved with music as an outlet for especially at-risk kids. My parents got divorced in high school, and I was able to just go to the youth orchestra rehearsal and go to band and do my thing and be distracted and just really feel a sense of belonging and all of that. But it wasn't until I started teaching that I saw the power of that relationship that you can build with the students and what a difference that can make for them in their everyday life. Like, and when you said at the beginning, I can't believe you remember that. I have made a point, and I still do my best. My memory isn't as good as it used to be, but I have made a point of getting to know every one of my students, but in a way that's more than just them as musicians. Like, what makes them tick? What do they like? What, you know, what do they do outside of school? And where are they maybe not feeling so good about themselves, or, you know, just ways that I can positively impact them and just make them feel like they have a place and I see them. And it's not always easy, because some kids are really, really quiet. And those are the ones that I try even harder, you know. Like, I have some students right now, even who, especially since COVID, they and wearing masks, like, they don't talk to their peers. They're very, very quiet and reserved. But I will make a point of, you know, saying, hello, how was your night? Did you do anything exciting on the weekend? And just trying constantly here and there where I can find an opening so that they don't feel like they went through high school invisible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now more than ever, it's the hardest age group to. It just was the hardest time. Like,
yeah.
I have friends and they're like, they just don't know how to act anymore. Like, they were just so, it's not the time in their lives where they can be isolated. So that is so, I remember actually us going on trips, and we would like five girls, and you would come in and we'd like be eating chicken wings, and you just come in and talk to us. It's true. It's like, you're not just saying, you know, I try. I know you do. I know it made a difference. And we talked about everything. We talked about boys. We talked about, and you were like, maybe you shouldn't date them.
Maybe it's too soon.
I don't think they're right for you. Actually, so speaking of, my partner went through your band program, and we were picking in the garden at supper. He's like, can you specifically, he's going to be so mad, can you specifically say nice things about me? Because I don't think she liked me very much.
You know, Carly's group, I didn't have enough time with them. That is so not true. Tell him that's not true. I just don't think I had enough time with them because, especially Carly, because he didn't go to Bishop Lloyd either. So it was that group was, okay, you're in grade 12. I get to take you to Music Fest. You just had Mr. Homans for the last 3 years. And those were massive shoes to fill. And I only knew half of those kids because, and I didn't actually even really teach that half other than a little bit of guest conducting with the Bishop Lloyd kids. But they had a different teacher in junior high as well. So yeah, but you know, it's funny because that's not uncommon before kids have enough time to understand sometimes where I'm coming from, because I do have, and I'm still that way. And the kids who are with me for a long time, they really dig it after a while because everybody respects each other. Like the band room is the room of, I always joke, if anybody's teasing or, you know, if it's getting borderline where somebody could be hurt, you know, I'm like, no, this is the room of peace and love. That's it. That's all that happens in here is peace and love. But I'm also strict. And so if somebody is being a weenie, I don't know if I had the
don't. Which we totally would be. Like, he's a weenie still. Like, he's still the same way. He talked about actually going to one of the music festivals and there's only two saxes and they both forgot their music. They just didn't say anything. Went through the whole. I'm like, yep, that sounds like that sounds like you. And but it created a space, yeah. and we did respect that level of like, this is where we are creating something as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's like something that you almost cannot describe. I just remember you know, being excited to play and be excited to be a part of something bigger. I still miss that, collectively creating something. Like, well, I'll never get that again in my life. Like that feeling of everyone at once.
And you know? And when you stay together and you make music like that, repeatedly with a goal, oh, you learn so much about yourselves. You learn so much about working in a group. It's magical. And when you do get to do, you know, for the kids who get to go on the big trip and go to the big festival and then see a totally different city together and be there, you know, creating music and listening to other groups, it's life changing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's well, really we were lucky though too. We had a, like, have you ever done that long stretch of, you know, who's going to listen to this podcast? Just everyone from that band class and that's it.
Hi, everybody. You know what?
Whoever had that stretch of like being with the same group for so, so long.
I did.
Yeah.
I got really lucky because when I moved to Saskatoon in 2006, Centennial Collegiate was just opening. It was just grade 9 and 10. And so I asked, begged, could I please teach at the feeder school? And so there was another group that I taught grade 6 to 12 because I taught them 6, 7, 8 at Silver Spring. And then they came to me for 9 to 12. So, but that was the only other time. There hasn't been another time. So it was you guys and then that group. And, mm-hmm. And so I feel lucky. Like for a teacher, that's super special too. Teaching in two buildings, being itinerant is exhausting, but oh gosh, it sure pays off. Like it's just wonderful.
And we talked about before we started recording, but I always quote Judge Judy. Judge Judy. I don't know the exact quote because I don't have a memory quite like that. But it's, if you love what you do, why do you ever want to stop doing it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You just get up and it's, you kind of obsessively, that's all you think about. And I think when that happens with an educator such as yourself, you just like, so when you transitioned or when you started in Lloydminster, like our band program wasn't that big, was it?
So I was actually an addition to the program because the two teachers who were there were doing such a great job in building it up that they needed someone to teach a bunch of grade six. So my first position was grade 3, 4, 5, 6. So 3, 4, 5 music and grade 6 band. And all of my training was high school. All of my student teaching was high school. But when I asked my I got offered the job early on because there was interview fair kind of thing. The superintendent from Lloyd came and did interviews and they offered me a job in April before I really had even finished school. And my one of my professors said, yeah, go to Lloydminster. Like things are really cooking there. There's a lot of potential. And so I thought, okay, so here I am 21. I don't know a soul. Didn't know a soul. Moved to Lloydminster, got myself a little apartment and and I taught so much grade six band. I had a car full of instruments. I loved it. And then speaking of continuous teaching, though, I should mention there were a couple students that I taught grade 3 to 12 because I taught them at Neville Goss. Crazy, hey? Laura Hastings, shout out to Laura Hastings. So if you, it's grade 3, she's one that I can think of. There was only a couple. So it was great. It was hard to leave Lloyd. That was hard on my heart. But I feel really lucky because that experience just kind of set me up to, you know, slide in here and feel really confident. I'm sorry, my dog is barking.
Oh, I can't hear it at all.
Okay. I think my husband has gone outside and I'm downstairs, so she feels lonely. And so she's she's trying to get somebody's attention.
So was the band program, like, were there good things going on in Saskatoon or was there work to do? Did you expand it? Did you alter it in any way?
Yeah, so Centennial was a brand new school. So I actually, I had 28 students in grade 9 and 10. That was it. And yeah, they were pretty medium about band. Like I don't know if they had great elementary experiences. So I had my work cut out for me. And then there was like, you know, a few years later, a couple years later, like 180 when I got transferred. So actually, no, I think I had reached over 200. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, you did.
Yeah. You made it back. But it definitely helped because I taught at the feeder schools, right? So, when you make that connection with the community, it's pretty special. So let's say, you know, student A, I taught grade 6, 7, 8, and then they came grade 9 and 10, and then student A's little sibling was starting band. Well, that whole family knows me already and they've seen what music has done for their child and then they're super supportive. So, and then in that neighborhood of all things, I started an adult band of all ladies and so many of them were band moms who played in high school, but hadn't touched their instruments since then and dusted them off and we had a blast.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like so fun.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Yeah.
Yeah, I know when I haven't said a ton about this and I don't know how much you see my social media, but so I live across the street from Derek and Tammy, who you might remember from school.
Yes.
So Derek teaches at the school near our house. I don't want to give away too much about location or anything. One day Derek was talking about some new academy they had added to LPSD. And I was like, because they had hockey academy and then like, yes. I don't know, badminton. No, they don't have badminton academy, but they were like adding basketball academy. I was just like, threw my arms up. I was like, come on. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. But when I thought about who's going to play basketball when they're done, like, and use those skills. I mean, there are skills that are great with sports, but like, I was like, how much more applicable are creative skills and creating to connect to yourself and expressing yourself and if you're thinking job market and those skills are now applicable more than ever they ever have been. Like if we're stuck in the pandemic, like creatives thrived. Yes. Because you mold and alter and figure it out and you can think outside the box. Yes. So I had a rant to the parents, and then one of the parents was like, you should start an art academy. I was like, yeah, well, that's whatever, neither here nor there, but they should. But that same day, Melanie was coming from LPSD. They had commissioned a custom piece of artwork for their retirees and then to gift prints every year of the same thing. And I said, you know, Melanie, you guys really need to start an art academy. And blah, blah, blah. I gave her the same speech. And then a week later, I got an email from Todd and the head of whatever, not superintendent, that's Trish, but director. Yeah. So he's like, I'd love to speak to you about your art academy.
What?
Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot more has happened since then. It was 2 years later, right? And so I initially asked to work with like 3 to 5s because, I mean, my experience with working with children is my own children. I don't have my education degree, but they're like, how about 6 to 8s? And I was like, that sounds very hard. Like I've never worked with teens, so I don't know. Like I didn't know, and I was afraid. And they're like, we really want that age group because we want that safe space for them. This is where it really hit home for me was when the application started rolling in. Mm-hmm. And they had to apply and tell us why they wanted to be a part of Art Academy. I just immigrated here. I don't have any friends. I love creating art. And I want to find people like me. And I want to find like others and make friends. And I'm just like, holy cow, this is more important than I ever thought it could be. And then I started volunteering to just gain a little more experience and a lot with teens have gone through some trauma and stuff like that. And it's just like, there's nothing like it. It is the coolest, most wonderful thing I've ever gotten myself into. Like, I don't know how it happened, but the stars somehow aligned and it starts this fall. And
oh my gosh, how exciting. That's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, like, I can make stuff till the cows come home, but this is really going to impact our community, right?
Yeah.
Yep. This is what I'm going to remember when I'm older. I'm going to remember, you know, how special it was. That's what I want to remember. So,
and when you see the excitement that they have and the pride that they show for what they've created and how
I had one girl, like, I'm not sure. I don't think I can do this. And then she like did this when we were done, let's like twirl with it over her head. She's like, I'm going to sell this for $1,000. Like,
sure. Speaking of, I still have your painting. It's down here. Because I do remember telling you in grade 8 or grade 9, it was before high school. I feel like it was grade 8 or grade 9. And I said, well, one day I'll buy something that you create.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I think everyone knew I was an artist before I had ever considered it.
Yeah. That's okay. You got to wait until you have that really loud voice as opposed to the small voice.
Yeah. I think for young people, you're just like, how can I fit in? You know, how can I fit in? And, you know, that doesn't always involve, because there wasn't quite that. We had music. We had you in that great program. I loved it, but I still don't know how to read the stuff or anything. It was like memory and this sounds right and like not. I don't understand. Well, you knew because my tests were probably atrocious.
No, they were not.
Like somewhat mathematical, and that's not how my brain works, and that is okay. But like, I wasn't going to go ahead and get it, teach other people how to do anything like that. But so we had that great programming, but we didn't have quite the art programming in visual arts that could have lifted me up and made me notice that I was wanting to go into that. But so do you, you must still keep in touch with some of your old students and kind of like what they've gone into, right? Like, have a lot of them gone into music?
Well, there are a few. Yeah, like, well, Cody Appleton ended up interning with me. Yes, and he's been teaching. He's been gainfully employed in Saskatoon for years.
Whether he was supposed to be there at first or not.
Yeah. No, there are lots actually who have pursued music. I'm trying to think of the Lloydminster kids. Well, I taught Jamie Grant, and I think she was teaching middle years for a while. Anyways, there was kids who majored in bass. Yeah, but also, you know, I mean, that's the neat thing about Facebook is the odd student will just kind of pop up, and then I can kind of see where they're at. That's pretty neat. It's very cool to see how maybe their experiences in music influence their career choices. Uh-huh. You know, like I have been a reference for so many students who have gone to med school, believe it or not. Yep. I always challenge, now I've learned this through the years, I challenge my students, my current students, next time you go to a doctor, a medical professional of any sort, ask them what instrument they play. Because at some point, usually they did. It's just one of those things.
Something the way their brains work?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
My sister can do all, like, she's so, don't know how her, but she always understood all of that, whether she liked band program or not, but she's still very musical. And, but she has like more of like an engineering sort of, you know, music theory engineering brain.
Yeah.
I just go with the flow, but yeah, she just ripped apart a trailer and then did the electrical plumbing and put the wheel wells on. And I'm just like, how?
That's amazing.
It's just incredible. Like just one of those, but it's interesting that, yeah, I wonder what the correlation is in the brain that makes it that way.
Patterns. I know like patterns is one, just the patterns of the notes and the combinations, you know, putting it towards like maths and physics and stuff like that. It's been interesting watching Quinn, like my daughter, because she'll be 19 in November. Yeah.
I don't like hearing that either because.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's pretty amazing. She's so musical and her ear is incredible. Like she has an ear for pitch. Like she always likes to be quizzed, like what's this pitch and, or sing me or play me something. But when it came to theory, her brain would explode. She would just prefer to listen and she'd sit down and she'd work it out, but it just didn't come easy to her. So, you know, that's, I guess, kind of the cool part about music too, is like, you're not just one dimensional just because you blow into an instrument or you hit a drum. Like there's lots of different facets of being a musician. And that's one of the challenges too with the kids. And you might find this with your art students where, you know, they find their niche and they need to understand that that's okay. Like, and musicians can inherently be hard on themselves because if they make a mistake, the auditory feedback sends a message that's louder than, let's say you were skating for the first time and you fell on your butt, you know, you just stand back up. But when you're a musician and you make a mistake, sometimes that internal dialogue tells you to not get back up and to just give up. And so that's a challenge with the kids. And that's why I loved teaching grade six. Like my last gig in Lloyd before I moved was grade six Bar Colony kids. They used to bus to me. And then I would teach 10, 11, 12 and band and jazz. And I love teaching the grade sixes because we learn early on that you're going to make mistakes every single day. Every single day you're going to make a mistake and you're going to learn from that mistake. And then you're going to feel really good about that concept and that skill. And then you're going to make another mistake. And I always make a point because I still play trumpet almost every class. I'm still playing along with them. And if I make a mistake, I always joke and say, oh, I need a new career. And then I like walk off my podium and then everybody laughs because
that's important though. That's important.
Absolutely. And I found myself doing that a lot this year too, because my grade nines, because of COVID, the last time they had band was essentially grade six. like really that was, that could count towards, you know, instruction. And so they were basically beginners in high school. And
oh gosh.
Yeah. So there was a lot of, you know, positive reinforcement and reminding them about, you know, self-talk and, you know, nobody's judging you. We're not judging each other. We're just here to make music and have fun. And the first couple of weeks of September of this year were a grind because, yeah, they were, and they come from a bunch of different elementary schools. Like my high school is situated in a place where I have 5 feeder elementary schools, but kids are still driving from all over the city too. So they'll all have had different experiences. And so getting everybody on the same page at the same level, you know, and the, with the kids who maybe who take private lessons, not getting bored, while the kids who are literally beginners, not feeling overwhelmed. Yeah, there was, I had some very exhausting days just trying to be energetic and.
Yeah. Like yeah. What a balancing act, and it emotionally taxing. We were talking about, I won't say with who, but how a person said, you know, sometimes being an educator, it takes so much, and to do it day in and day out and just show up, like you can't be up here all the time. Like we always have those motivational speakers come in. They're like, you got to excite the kids. And he's like, yeah, you did that for 20 minutes. Good for you. But like, how are we going to do? We got to like, you know, so yeah. Like, you go for walks and you show them how to find, not be frustrated and not be like, this is life, that we make mistakes, we are human, but like, you know, keeping it all together. But yeah, you must come home like extremely exhausted.
You know, I never used to. I used to just put 100 kids in front of me and I'll have even more energy after. But I'm definitely, I mean, this is year 27 and I've gone to the bottom of the well lots and lots of times. And so I have to be careful now because I have a hard time saying no. And even in COVID in June, you know, my husband likes to tease me because I only have one gear. I found myself, I had the drum line at this gig and we had just so many things outside of this.
Did you make football players do something or something? I saw that. I was like, of course she did.
I didn't make them. No, choir got canceled. And so because of COVID. And so I decided that I would start a choir in May so that we would have good riddance at grad. Good riddance by Green Day. I've always wanted to have a choir sing that at grad, but it never felt right just because of the title. Just call me sensitive. But this year I thought it was the perfect one because those grade 12s had been through the ringer with high school, right? And so I had a sign up sheet and I put it on the announcements and put it on my door. And I mean, some of these football players were already in band, but a couple were not. And then all of a sudden I've got, you know, big tall Ryan standing at my office door. Can I join choir? Sure. Okay. And then 2 seconds later, there's bigger Eric. Can I join choir? Okay, sure. Yeah. And so before I knew it, I had 6 boys who had never been in choir before. And they were coming for extra just so they could figure out how to actually sing. Oh, it was horrible. It made my year. So, and then because grad, there was a new location this year. We used to always do it at TCU Place. It was at Merlis Belcher, which is this massive hockey arena, basically. So it was definitely a gamble because when you put a choir in front of a big crowd, the sound, you need to be mic'd. You need somebody who knows what they're doing, or it's just, you can't hear them, or it's bad sound. Anyways, we hit the jackpot because the person that SBSD hired was like just with it. And I had the guitar player, I had a boy come and play guitar, and the sound, it was just like, I was conducting, I was covered in goosebumps from head to toe. And like more because of how proud they were of themselves to be up there singing. And then I thought about their moms, because a couple of them, I know their parents, and like, especially, like I said, Ryan, the one, like he got the athlete award, like the male, and there he was in the middle of the choir. And it's not that I hadn't had football players in choir before, but a lot of them start earlier and then just stick with it. These guys just came out of nowhere. And I think part of that too was COVID and having lost everything and realizing what was lost and wanting then to take advantage of every opportunity that was offered to them. And I tell, this is funny too, because it was our last rehearsal and Eric brings in a buddy and says, can I join choir? And I said, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but no, it's too late. Like, this is our last rehearsal. But like, these are problems no one usually has, right?
No.
Like, there's too many boys who want to sing in choir.
That happened a lot, not just for kids, but adults. Like, yeah. A lot of people started questioning, like, what am I doing and what do I want to do and what feels good and what doesn't feel good? Like, yeah. Just everything got stripped away for a second.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll forget really way too soon what it felt like, but it sounds like everything kind of like organically, the best things always organically, magically in this realm come together in the creative realm. I feel like for you, like, I don't know how this happened, but it did. And it's crazy. And
it was the same thing with the marching band, because I hadn't done a marching band since Lloydminster. I hadn't even considered. And I still had my whistle on my red, whistle chain. Anyways, when I was looking at the guidelines for band reemerging and the size of my senior band in 2021, when I was going to have them for 6 weeks, because that was how the Quint system, I couldn't figure out how to fit them in the room and I wasn't going to get more time. So I went to my principal and I asked for $10,000 to buy marching band drums. And he's super supportive. And he was like, yeah, you know what? I think we should do this. And lo and behold, so spring of 2021, and then again, just this year, I had this massive marching band and it was just like Lloydminster days, except for it was the afternoons, not Sunday nights. And I would just take them all over the neighborhood and people would come out of their houses, especially, you know, seniors who grew up in times of parades and tears, like people just watering their lawns, and we'd go by and they'd be tearing up and just cheering, and like, the power and the joy from doing that. Oh my gosh. And the kids, I think they thought I was crazy at first, but most of them were with me no matter what, because, you know, they did grade 9, 10, 11 with me. And then loved it, like absolutely loved it. And like, I had a few kids, have to give up a class, in grade 12 because of weird scheduling, stick with it so that they could be a part of that just this past spring.
So, oh, wow.
And if you would have asked me even 3 years ago, would you ever do a marching band again? I'd be like, no, that's just like too much work too. And then I got,
well, you're outside and like attention spans and.
Oh, it was one, well, 2 hour band classes. So, yeah. So we'd rehearse our normal, quote unquote, normal music. And then we'd head outside and play Bruno Mars and Seven Nation Army. And
but that's how you got the kids engaged. Like, that's how you got us engaged. Like, what did we play? Like Star Wars? And I don't even remember.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you guys were, well, the
kind of remember, but yeah, because you could recognize it and you're like, this is from, and we like would get super excited about it. And there was just something about that made it like cooler.
Yeah, right? And it's funny because a lot of times people will say, well, why don't you just always play music like that? And what I usually explain is that music is easy because of the other music we play, and then being exposed to the other music is what, you know, where the skills come from, so that you can learn this other stuff super fast and you can just have a ball with it. Like, mm-hmm. if the programs just played pop music, you know, it wouldn't have the same shine, I don't think.
No, like I remember other songs and falling in love with them. That just made it like fun. Oh, sure. Like some extra sparkle. Yeah. I actually remember, and I still use to this day, is an exercise that you did with us. Like you would pick a particular section, and if we were effing it up hard, we'd just play it over. And let's do it again and over, and let's do it again and over. I do it. So I just finished the audio part of my book. Like if there's an area, I just do it over and over and over. Like it was just this little thing, and I've used it since we did it in high school. Like, well, I'll just do it over and over and over. And
how much does that teach you about resilience too, right? As opposed to just doing it a couple of times and then throwing in the towel. Like a lot of people who don't well, A, who aren't musicians, or B, who aren't artists or dancers or like actors. Like, you need to repeat things. And I think, I don't know if I called it when you were young yet, the 10 time rule. That's what I used to call that. Like, until you can get it right 10 times, then you're probably not done with it. Mm-hmm. But by doing that, then you realize that, like, you can do anything. You just have to do it.
Well, at first I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. But then we would get it. And then you're like, oh, okay, that works. It like, it's like this switch getting flicked on. Right? Yeah. And it is. It's resilience. It's like, aha. It was a big aha moment.
Yeah. And then you have the success from that, and then you want more of it. Like, success tastes good. It feels good. And then you want to do more of that. And then
that's what they say about making money. They're like, you squeeze so hard for so long, and it's, you just stop squeezing, and then it starts happening. And then you're like, oh, this is like,
it's working.
It's working. I figured out a way recently to get to New York. So I'm just like, oh, there's like, I don't know how I'll get to New York, because it will cost like $7,000, but I really, really, really want to go.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release, and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.
I get to go to New York.
Good for you. Oh my God. And what are you going, and when, and what are the deets?
I got invited by PXB Contemporary Gallery. She's like, and this is a story for anyone listening about just asking, and the worst thing someone can say to you is no. I've shown with PXB Contemporary Gallery. It wasn't just like out of the blue or something. I built a relationship with Alicia, the co-founder of PXB. And I had shown a Taylor collection in June with her. And then I've always wanted to go to an art fair, like as an artist, like, but to go unrepresented is just like $10,000 to $20,000. So you have to go with a gallery, right? So I messaged her, just, I was like, you know, if you're going to any art fairs or anything, I'd love to be considered as one of your artists. That would be so fun. Thank you. And then she's like, we're full. We're actually going in the fall and the spring. But we're full in the fall, and we will consider you for the spring of 2023. And I'm like, okay. I thought she was just like, you know, brushing me off. Like, yeah, we'll consider you. Thank you. 3 days later, she messaged me, and she's like, you will ask and you will receive. The woman, another female-run gallery next to us, wants to split a wall of female figurative artists. Are you in? And I'm like, 1,000%. My artisan. I had to say, I was like, 1,000%. And I was like, my artisan. I don't know. I'm like, I really, really want to go. And I had just, the reason why I couldn't go is because I had to replace my Mac. And I don't, for creatives, or the common person who's not a creative, so I edit audio, video, photography, and my art all at once. / a million things. I'm a multitasker, so I like to have everything open at once. And so that's how my brain works. And I need a $7,000 Mac computer to do that. So mine was 10 years old. I had bought it when my mom passed away, when Gus was a baby, or 8 years old or something, which is too old for a computer. So I had just done that. And I was like, but I would really, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And I would get to meet all the women I've been communicating with for like 5 years, and I, this is my chance to meet them in person, and I'm with in groups with them, and you know, we support one another. And so, yeah, you just figure out a way.
And if there's one thing I could say, as you know, somebody a little older than you, keep saying yes to those opportunities. If there is a financial concern, figure it out. And I know that sounds easier than it probably
is. Put it on your credit card.
Well, and you know what? I was a single mom for years and years. So like, I understand what it's like to have to figure things out, but sometimes you got to listen to your gut, and you just got to say yes to that stuff, because that's what fuels your passion even more. And you don't even know what opportunities are going to grow from that, because that's one opportunity that probably has, you know, seven or eight arms more of our opportunities coming out of it. So uh-huh. Good for you. Oh my gosh.
You're out of way. I know it's a bit scary. You know, it's a bit scary to leave your kids and yeah. Go, well, to the US, like right now, like, but you just have to kind of, yeah, like just do it and yeah. Don't think about all the other stuff.
Listen to your gut. Yeah. Listen to your gut.
Yeah. No, I'm super, super excited. And most of those are travel days. New York is not close to where we live. And it doesn't matter where you're from or who you are. Like, you can go anywhere. I had such a terrible experience with a woman from another part of our country. And she's like, well, you live in the prairies. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And your point is?
Can't be an artist if you live here.
Okay, that's so weird.
Considered a professional artist.
Was she in Toronto by any chance?
Yeah, she was.
That sounds like such a Toronto thing to say. Honestly, I've done school conducting workshops in Toronto at the U of T. And it's interesting, like Eastern Canada has a definite feeling like they're it, they're Canada. So it's surprise. There's a lot out west. You should check it out. There's a lot of people out there too.
No, we're just truckers and
yeah.
and it's nothing against truckers and nothing against people in Toronto. But sometimes it happens where some people aren't very nice and make quick snap judgments.
Right.
And that was one of them. I didn't want to say where from, but yes, it was.
Everybody would have figured it out anyways.
She's like, you're going to have such an uphill battle.
Like,
yeah, I've been doing it for like over 15 years. It is really hard, admittedly.
It's a professional artist, a professional musician, a professional actor, a professional dancer. Like it is a hard path. But if you're eating, sleeping, breathing it, that's what you got to do. Like that's what you got to do.
I mean, people find their breaks, but like the day to day is like, an obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a good one.
For sure. Absolutely. Like, and when you can't imagine yourself doing anything else, like anybody could have told me going into being a music teacher, terrible things. And I would have been like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like nothing. Or, you know, and quite honestly, like the education these days is, it's very, very different than when I even my first decade in Lloydminster. And that's what makes me want to do it even more now, because I feel like it's even more important, especially with, and I don't want to, I'll go on a tangent. Any of my current students would laugh if I start talking about social media and like cell phones. And I mean, I am on Facebook, I use Instagram. We actually have a music Instagram page. But I'm also someone who grew up without that. And so I have an off switch, as do you. But these kids, they don't, like, if there is any hill that I would tell a parent to die on, it's that you do not let them have their devices in their bedroom while they're sleeping. And I honestly would have gone to the wall with Quinn, but she knew, she didn't argue. Like, she would plug it in the kitchen and she would sleep. And in the morning, there would be 18,000 messages from her friends who were not in bed and they were on the phone, and then they would miss school because they were sick. And I have students who are like that now. Like attendance is poor, and COVID just made it worse because there was nothing to do except stare at your screen. And so, like I said, I have an Instagram page for the music department, and occasionally a student will like something and I'll see it at like that they liked it at 3 a.m. and then I'll have a conversation with them or their mom. And I still do that and say, so, you know,
sleep is so number one. Sleep is like should be everyone's number one priority. But there, think of a computer and a phone as a gambling device. It's made to be addictive. So would you let your kid play the slots all night? Probably not. That's what it is.
I used to say, like, to Quinn, well, I'm not going to give you a case of beer in grade 10 and say figure it out. So, like,
no.
They, a lot of times, especially, you know, some parents nowadays, they don't want to disappoint their kids. So they don't want to battle with their kids. But, you know, if I would say the biggest thing that's different now with kids, and this is why, again, I'm so glad that I teach music, because for an hour, or in the case of this last semester, for 2 hours, their phones are away and they are actively engaged in something that doesn't involve their device. Like there's a lot of classes where they're using laptops, they're using phones, and in music, both of their hands are occupied. Or if they're in choir, they're standing and singing, they're not looking at their phone. And so for that period of time, they get to be just completely aware of themselves and their community instead of worrying about replying and keeping Snapchat streaks going. It's scary. And so It's way harder to get them. And I'm not talking either just about music, but like for kids to be passionate about something these days compared to 20 years ago, they're just not, because there's this wall of social media that is kind of like blurring what they could get really, really into. And so like it's not uncommon for me to say, okay, so tonight when you're at home, you know, maybe 10 minutes less on TikTok and just pick this up. Like I have to talk like that now so that they can think about that. Like what is, and so the kids who stick with me to grade 12, we have like screen, when your phone tells you how long you've been on your screen or whatever, like they'll say, well, I'm down this week. Are you down this week? And like I had a grade 12 student do a whole report on cell phones for one of his science classes. And he was so excited to share it with me, because it's not like it has to be gone. You just have to realize that it's not real life. And you have to be engaged with your, like, and I'll meet kids who can't look me in the eye. Like when we first meet in grade 9, they don't make eye contact because they don't know how to do that. And especially now with COVID. And so usually I'll just wait. Like if they say something or I need to talk to them, I'll just keep looking at their eyes and just wait until they kind of have to gaze up. And I try to meet them with a smile, so I'm not like scary. Why is this lady looking at me so hard? But being able to engage in your environment and like with each other, and gosh, we sure miss that. Like in band, I had to have them all sitting 2 meters apart. And of course with masks on, they just don't talk, you know? So I'd call on my extroverts. I get a couple extroverts, Ethan, can you crack a joke please? Cause the introverts in here need a chuckle, you know, like just to kind of keep it, because it was pretty dark, you know, when everybody's wearing masks in school and, scared of each other.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I didn't, and I'm sure I'll learn way more about this because, again, I haven't been an educator and I haven't gone to school for a long time. But when I was volunteering, I was like, you know, when you guys go and hang out in your rooms, because this is what I used to do, hang out in your rooms and I listen to music. And they're like, we don't do that. Like, who are you? What do you mean, old lady? I'm like, well, what do you do? They're like, we just play on our phones,
yeah,
computers. So I was like, oh, okay.
So because of that, I created a soundtrack of my life assignment. And so this was something a few years ago where I asked them to choose 5 songs that had special meaning to them. And they would look at me like deer in headlights. Like we would have to go to the vault for them to think of a song. For a lot of them, okay, let's talk about, like I would share, you know, like when my grandma passed away, there was a Celine Dion song that played. And so that has new meaning to me now. And so then they'd be like, oh, okay, well, yeah, the song that I crossed the stage in grade eight was this song. Like it, for some of them, or they're just super passionate about video game music, soundtrack music, which is okay. That's at least
my friends do like, I'm like, and now we're listening to Minecraft playlist. Cool.
There are a lot of really talented composers of video games nowadays. I have to say, and some really famous, famous composers. Like these kids will pull out names. I'm actually taking, and this is kind of like blending the two, my senior band this year, we're going to go to Calgary, and I've already got tickets. We're going to go see the Calgary Symphony, and they're playing Black Panther music, like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie will be playing, and then the orchestra will be playing the music. So maybe the sensory, you know, situations, I'm not using the right language, but the two can come together and they can maybe start to picture, you know, when they're listening to their video games or watching their movies, like picture the instruments or whatever.
They're making that together, a real thing.
Yeah.
I got to see Brandi Carlile with Edmonton Symphony, and mm-hmm. it was like, there's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's pretty, that was before she like played for the president. Like blew up, but that was a while ago, but she's so incredible. Have you listened to her audiobook?
No.
Listened to audiobook. So Brandi Carlile does an audiobook, but she sings in it. Like every few chapters, you'll hear her guitar pick up and she'll sing. Yeah. That's
amazing.
It's pretty cool. It's neat. And that you're making young people have those connections, because everything that is creative, video and photography and visual art, like typically they kind of all go hand in hand. And totally. Especially with movies, like how many creatives made that and what went into it, right? Mm-hmm. And so to show them that they can maybe use these skills, you know, in that area, or like if that sparking interest. But like, yeah, it really made me sad when I heard that they no longer listen to music. I was just like, holy moly, like music was just such a big part of growing up and what your parents listened to, and we're losing it, right?
We really are, yeah. And so like, I try to show, like I'm lucky, I have a setup with a massive screen and data projector. So I try to show as often as I can connections to, you know, like what we're playing, whether it's an orchestra or whether it's like, we played Happy by Pharrell Williams, right? Like, and show them the actual video. Has anybody seen this video? Like to Happy, and isn't it from the Minions? Well, no, let's actually watch, let's watch Pharrell sing it. But I, you know, like I'm with you, it's sad. And I don't know if parents just don't think about it anymore because they're
I play movies in the car, and so yeah, that's like I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, I will not know, like Carly's family listened to Paul Simon, and then that they think about that forever, and now they think about their dad when all those songs play, like, and that's what they listen to because that's the only tape or CD they had. So like, you know, things on repeat stick in your picking your memories, and you remember like the lake and what the lake smelled like, and what the, like, I remember Martin Sexton. My dad made us listen to Martin Sexton on the way to the lake, or Jimmy Buffett. And so
my dad used to quiz me when we'd be driving, who's this, Foreigner? Who's this, the Eagles? I'd be 10. Who's this, Stevie Nicks?
Awesome. My brothers like that. They did that with radio and stuff. They were so into, like, you know, if you go to name that tune, like he just like kill everybody at it. And he is, see, like, I think the parents, this is important, right? Yeah. It's so important for parents. My dad, he's like he's very unique. I can describe him, but he loves music. He's like, all right at it. And sorry, Dad, but you know, like, he's good, but like, but he just so wanted us to be into it so hard, and like such a CKUA radio fan. He walked around with it on his belt now, like a Bluetooth speaker playing CKUA. So he comes and watches my kids, and he's like just walking with them on the bike path, and CKUA is blasting off his belt loop. He's unique.
That's amazing. That is the best thing I've heard in a really long time. And I miss CKUA. I forgot that station. That's amazing. Way to go.
It's so good. And so now that impacted all our lives in this way. My brother's a musician living in Edmonton, traveling all the festivals this summer. Like, how important was my dad's, you know, passion about music? How did that shape who we all were? Mm-hmm. My brother's just like, just a poet, and super great about sharing. And it's hard for me to actually listen to pop music because I'm like, who wrote this? Because I love poetry, and I know how great it can be, and I'm just like, why did they do this? But that's being a snobby. But I just finished that audio, and he wrote this beautiful letter about my mother that we talked about at her party. So she didn't have a traditional funeral or wake. She called it her party, and he made this, like, you can't get through it without bawling. But this beautiful, it's just, there's so much symbolism and so much, like, you could feel and taste my mother and everything he spoke about, sensory and it's just, those are the kind of people that are special in the world, and you don't just have to, like, he's a musician, but he's many more other things. Yeah. I'm an artist, I'm multifaceted, like, I love writing, you don't have, if your child's not, like, super visually creative or can create music, they can also do other things, like, but it should be included somewhere, somehow.
Absolutely. It's so precious. And just listening to you talk about your mom was a rock star. I always think about your mom when I think of you because she was so supportive too and just amazing. But yes, they can be intertwined. I'm always amazed when I see the artwork of my music students. Like, I don't often get an opportunity to see what they're creating upstairs in the art room. And then we'll have like a fine arts night, and I'll go out into the foyer, and let's say, you know, saxophone player plays second alto sax and loves band, but isn't passionate maybe, or as passionate as like some of the other kids. And then I go out into the foyer and I see this piece of art, and I'm like, what is this? Like, this is amazing. Or, you know, one of the kids that does dance, and we have like a kind of a coffee house, and kids audition, and so-and-so shows up and does this amazing dance routine too. And it's like, holy smokes. Like, yeah. And they should get to experience them all and find out what they love, and hopefully experience them all as much as they want to be able to, and not be limited. I don't know. The kids
come down to programming, like, in programming, and people who work hard in the systems to have those, just that environment. Some of the meetings I've sat in on leading up to this were really powerful. Just like talking about, you know, someone who's gone through trauma, and just, I can't say a lot about her, what she said, but she said, I just can't help but think if he had had that safe space, that wouldn't have happened in his life.
That is exactly. It does save kids. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Because they find their place. If there's one thing that, you know, I always sticks out to me is the kids who stick with it until the end of grade 12, and how close they are and how different they are, that they might not have ever talked to each other otherwise, or had any reason to talk to each other. I had a student a couple years ago, and this is, try not make me cry, but she had schizophrenia, OCD, you name it. Sweet little tuba player, like, just absolutely darling. And I recruited another student to play tuba. He was co-president and the quarterback of the football team. And those two were like the cutest little friend duo that I have ever seen. Like, and this is before COVID, and she would come in and she'd have to wipe her chair down with all these wipes because of the OCD. And everybody just knew that if there was a wipe left on the floor, you know, and anyways, if she was ever struggling with anything, there he was to help her. And they would not have ever talked otherwise. Yeah. And that's just 2 out of 50. I could go on for hours about that.
You for know? Sure. Yeah. Like each and every, it was a crazy experience. And it is a giant mix of kids. So when you talk about recruited, so you, this is how, like, I feel like you're like stubborn in the best and persistent in the best way. You went out and found someone else. You needed a tuba player and you went and got one.
Well, he was already in there. He played a different instrument. And I basically, at the beginning of the year, was like, okay, look, you guys, like, we really, really, well, and I don't know how long, it could have been since Lloydminster, but I've always talked about the tuba being like the chocolate fudge at the bottom of the Dairy Queen ice cream cake. It's that important. And you need a powerful bass section. So, yeah, so he was like, I'll do it. I'll try it. And he was really, really good. So he hopped over to tuba. So,
And I can attest to like the people I'm still in touch with and how, what amazing things they are doing. There are so many like really interesting careers and really like, I'm just so proud of everyone mm-hmm. that we were in that program with, like, and we did all like some of them are, I know, still friends and around here. And they didn't invite me to dinner, but we're still friends. I always like, I tried way too hard to be cool. So that was my flaw in high school to fit in. And that's okay. Because you have to discover yourself. It takes a while to get there. And
everybody kind of goes through it at a different time. Like sometimes people learn the hard way in grade 9 and then they're good for grade 10, 11, 12. And then all of a sudden somebody else is figuring it out in grade 11. Like,
oh, I'm glad I got it over with in high school because I could get on with my life. Right.
Yeah.
The teenage rebellion happened early on. So I could become an adult and figure some stuff out. Yeah. No, it was good. Well, so good to see you. Number one, I was like, hi, because you shut down messaging. I was like, I hope I can find her and get a hold of her. And I did. And I'm so grateful. And thank you for everything that you've done and that you do. And next, I come to Saskatoon all the time. We're going to have lunch.
That would be awesome.
Or dinner.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great. Thank you so much for setting this up. It was great to talk to you and fun to think about, gosh, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Those are some really special times. And I totally hold very, very near and dear to my heart.
Me too. Like, obviously, I'm remembering and finding you. I'm just going to...
Thank you so much for being here and giving us your time. I told you that was so good. And I hope you reach out to those people and send them a nice message who have made an impact in your life in some way. It's, you know, it's why they wake up in the morning. Their job is hard, but they do it because it's important. Thank you to our sponsors, Red Bicycle Communications and Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Centers. So great, we couldn't do it without them. And you are welcome to join our community. It's just such a beautiful place to be, and more it's for women, women with an X. So whatever you identify as, it's for women, and we'd love to have you. It's just a beautiful place where you can share who you are, share what you're passionate about, what you believe in, inclusion, lifting others up, and it's been such a really cool journey so far. So that's Color Me Happy on Facebook. It's in the notes. You can join there. It's free. Because I love making friends. Totally. And so if you want to be my friend, come join the community. So, and or you can subscribe to our newsletter at brandyhofer.ca if you want that weekend inspiration that I talked about at the beginning of the episode. You can also enjoy this music that we have. It's like that it enters you in on all the episodes and signs us out. Is actually music by my brother's band Swear by the Moon and his amazing, actually, you know what, we need to have Megan on the podcast. His bandmate Megan, maybe I'll give it a month or two. They've been to all the music festivals working really hard this summer, and Megan had quite it's hard to explain. I don't want to talk about her journey because it's her journey, but she had a very, well, I'll just have her on so she can tell you about it. I'm going to cry again because it was a scary, life-changing journey that she's recently been on. So her voice is just coming back and her gift. So it's funny how you realize how short and how valuable life is. And simply when you're a musician, the fact that you lose your voice and how your outlook on life can change. So we'll let Megan talk about that. But you can listen to their passionate, beautiful, really amazing music. I'll provide the whole song here, and hopefully YouTube doesn't flag me anymore. I keep wanting to share their songs, but I keep getting flagged. So hopefully that doesn't happen anymore. So hop on in our community, join our sketchbook project, take our portrait class, whatever you want to be a part of, whatever you want to take away from here, we are happy to have you. Really big news. I just finished the audio for my book and the edit came back today. So then to formatting and on to Amazon and all that great stuff next. Crazy. So everything you hear me rambling about, I put it into a book, into a more cohesive, understandable way. And it changed my life to write it, actually, reflecting back on, you know, everything that's gone on and the lessons and the takeaway. It was really nice to go over them and process them in the way of, you know, writing down thoughts and then putting it all together and then reading it 1,000 times and then recording the audio. It was a really interesting ride and I grew so much from it. So I can't wait for you to hear it and or read it. And thanks for being here, friend. We'll chat with you soon.
That's landing on your fake face. am I the wallpaper that you hang when I'm